The following is a Mediocre Movie Club production.
Welcome back to the Mediocre Movie Club. I'm John Kissel, and with me tonight for another episode of What Have You Been Watching is Shane Sentner.
Yo.
Brian Hartman.
That's me.
And joining us very briefly to discuss the first of our What Have You Been Watching items is Drew Landry.
Hey, everybody.
Okay, so let's jump right into it. Brian, what have you been watching?
Lego Batman.
Okay.
Because that's what we're supposed to talk about first. That was very scripted.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna let you guys talk about how great you think it is first, because I thought it was fine.
Wow.
I know, okay. Right?
I think that we've been in a period of superheroes, especially Batman, taking themselves entirely too seriously. And
well, not like it was certain years there, right? It was like, what, 2012, 2009, sir? 2000.
Going back to like Batman Begins, which I think is 2005.
That was a callback to Lego Batman, by the way.
Okay. I saw it in a packed theater full of agitated children. So if I missed a joke or two, I can't be held responsible.
Alfred makes a joke like, sir, I've seen you in this sort of emotion in 1988, 1991, 1993.
It's okay, yeah, it's a dense, layered movie. What Lego Batman, I think, going back to Brian's question, figures out is that this is a silly character. Doesn't mean he can't have some pathos to him, but the basic premise is silly. And that's an important part of Batman, I think. And Lego Batman gets it. Will Arnett is exceptional as Batman. He is a perfect representation of the character. I love that he has a heavy metal guitar ready to whip out and sing a sad Papa Roach style song about himself at any given moment. But Michael Cera as Robin is completely endearing and adorable. The Conan O'Brien voices the Riddler for no reason. Why the hell not? It's great. I love it. It's going to be in my top 20 by the end of the year, no question.
Who's Bane?
Doug Benson.
Doug Benson is like, I don't like that.
Doug Benson does a terrible Bane impression on his podcast, Doug Loves Movies, and Phil Lord and Chris Miller have been on his podcast. Why the fuck not?
Are you guys implying that Doug Benson is a famous person?
Not at all.
I am.
But he's like, he's appropriate for the role in that he's not taking it seriously. This is not serious. This is a funny movie. A very funny movie that is occasionally a little sad and emotional about a man who responds to some childhood trauma by dressing up as a bat and punching people in the face. It's a silly story.
I had no idea that Mariah Carey was Mary McGaskill.
Amazing.
No idea.
Is that the mayor?
That is the mayor. It's okay. Apparently Mariah Carey. I had no idea. Billy Dee Williams is Two-Face.
So we're big fans.
Yes.
Brian, you're fine with it.
I'm gonna let Drew go as the antithesis to you all, and then I'll be the bridging gap.
Okay.
Well, I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it was cute, and I didn't think it was really too much to really think about because it's just a little comedy movie. But I don't think it's the best Batman that's ever been out there. I think that easily goes to The Dark Knight. But I mean, I think it forces people to feel for him. Like, you need to trust people. You need to trust everybody. Come on now, trust us. We're part of your team. And it's like, oh, gag me. Just, you know, silliness there. So, I you know, there's a lot of forced silliness and all that I wasn't buying into. But that was my biggest problem with it, is that it was trying to make me feel things. And I'm like, I don't want to feel anything.
I'll give you that. That baldly stating the emotional arc of Batman is in the movie. That is a true statement,
but
I'm gonna say they're asking you to buy some shit. Okay, fine, we're buying your premise on that, but are they asking you to buy that the Joker is going to infiltrate the police and then shoot at the mayor, but then the deputy whatever police guy is going to fake his own death and the Joker knows that ahead of time and then he can do all the other things he does? Like, I'd rather buy into the emotion than all of that. And like, listen, I think The Dark Knight is an A-minus movie. It's a very, very good movie. I love it. But come on, isn't that excessive?
I think eventually we're going to have to do The Dark Knight as an official pick.
Yeah.
For the MC, in the previous What Have You Been Watching episode, we talked about 300 needing a reevaluation.
Right.
The Dark Knight probably is nowhere near as due for a reevaluation, but
maybe this could be your next thing.
Potentially, I'll look into it.
Is reevaluations?
No. Off air. Now that we're on air, I want to announce this. Drew challenged me to a game of one-on-one basketball. He was right on this. And I said, listen, Drew, I've already defeated Ray Allen in one-on-one. I will defeat you.
Really, assuming Dude, move that your, everyone your, listens
your ball
to
under
podcast,
the shirt move is deceiving.
All right, Drew listens to our podcast. All right, fantastic.
Drew listens to the pod, all right.
All right, I wasn't sure how that was going to go. Brian, last word on Lego Batman?
Yeah, so like it's a Lego movie, so it's not going to take itself too seriously. That's the underlying premise. I don't think they're like... A-plus movies are usually creating some sort of ideas that aren't there by default. And Drew used the some term unnecessary something. I've already forgotten. I should have written it down. That was a good phrase.
Oh, thanks.
So
I'm glad we're recording this.
Yes, exactly. It's a good movie, but I don't think it outpaces Batman Begins or The Dark Knight. It's just not there. I don't think any Lego movie all Lego movies are going to have to do something incredible to get there. And this doesn't do it.
For me, it's all about the guitar. It's the sad. Exactly.
Like Mad Max.
I mean, that character has a little less to say. So thank you for joining us, Drew.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Take care.
So to get back to what have you been watching, I recently watched a period action movie called Centurion from director Neil Marshall. He of the Blackwater episode of Game of Thrones and the Watches on the Wall episode. Both of those episodes were just set in those one locations. Some of the better stuff that Game of Thrones has done. Not quite on the scale of like the later seasons, but still effective for like filming medieval battle. This isn't medieval battle. This is ancient Roman battle set in Scotland, northern England. Around the time when the Romans were trying to establish a foothold in that area and conquer the Picts up in that area. Stars Michael Fassbender, Dominic West from The Wire, and one of the Bond girls whose name I don't remember from Quantum of Solace. It's Russian.
You've been hanging out with me for too long with that last sentence there.
Okay. It's Olga something. Unless I think all Russian women are named Olga.
Is it the same?
And I am completely wrong about that.
No.
So anyways,
anyway.
The Russian actress cast in the movie, she might have a Russian accent, but you don't know because she plays a mute character. It's not like a warfare. There are battle scenes in Centurion, but it's more like a Great Escape type movie where Dominic West ends up getting captured by the Picts and... Michael Fassbender leads the survivors to try and rescue him, and then they have to escape back to enemy lines while Olga and her crew are chasing after them. Sounds pretty straightforward. A lot of potential there for like who's like a horror movie type of thing where people are being picked off one by one, who's next, how they're going to survive, all that stuff. It's just not up to the level that I expected from Neil Marshall. I think a lot of those Game of Thrones battles, in particular the two that he did, are very recognizable as far as what's happening where, especially the Watchers on the Wall one, less so Blackwater. But you lose track of a lot of the action in Centurion. There are a lot of cuts in... There are more cuts in one single, like, one versus one fight scene in Centurion than there are in the entirety of Stations of the Cross, the movie we talked about in the previous What Have You Been Watching episode.
Well, I imagine a lot of white people look alike.
Yeah, but they're all distinctly made up. Like, the Picts are they're the Bravehearts type people that were putting blue paint on their face and very very dressed up and all of that.
Is it like a capital P or is it like...
It's capital.
Apostrophe P-I-C-T-S.
Like Picts?
And they know like it's like slang for something. The Picts.
It seems like... A not especially relevant question to the movie.
What are you saying?
I think they just referred to them as Picts.
Are you accusing me of trying to derail what you're saying?
I would never do such a thing. Centurion was fine at best.
Dare you?
Sorry to go on Fassbender, but
as someone who loves action movies, should I watch it?
I think so. I mean, I like
that's what I
like. I like that
Shane. What have you been watching?
No, I'm interested in hearing you say this. Like,
I enjoy the Roman period.
I like period pieces, and I like action pieces. I also like Dominic West and Fassbender. So, like, my inclination would be yes, let's watch this movie, but I've also been burned by something like that.
It's not bad by any means. It's just it should have been a lot better than it was.
What's your grade?
C.
Okay. I'm not going to watch it.
All right. Shane, what have you been watching?
Ratatouille.
Okay.
The first time I've ever watched this movie. I know it's been out for a while. On high recommendation by John Kissel, I was fine with it. It's a solid Pixar movie. I can't believe my three-year-old watched the whole thing.
That is surprising.
The next day he said the rat died in the river, which I didn't understand. He also said... this rat family is a very good family. They're good people, and people should be nice to each other. So, yeah, I think you learned something from that, other than for some reason you thought a rat died. But it's a good movie.
I don't know about great. It's a movie that your kids can watch on repeat that never gets annoying.
And that is,
as a parent,
there's a lot to be said for that.
Yes, it is on our iPad download list. It's one of the movies I let the kids watch in the car on long trips over and over because I can handle it.
I give you like a grade upgrade on that?
I don't know if I've implemented that in my grading system yet.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Break out the vacuum cleaner. Tell them.
Because like, if that's the case, then doesn't Lego Batman get a little bump?
Jane refuses to watch it because she says I don't like Batman. So
wow,
Brian, what else you got?
Let's talk about Wind River. So evidently online, it's starting to get some Oscar talk. A drama ish, slight action movie based on a Native American reservation where there's a murder and they're trying to solve said murder with FBI agent, local white guy, and. It was really good. Like, I was in a bad mood that night and wanted to watch a sad movie, and this fit the bill to a T. And
it's
a sad movie. It is. And I told people at work, I just said, like, if you're in a bad mood and want to lay on the couch for an hour and a half and continue just being in a bad mood, this is the perfect movie to watch.
Is that the kind of thing that people want?
I assume
when they're in a bad mood?
I do. I don't care about... I just felt that way. It was really good in terms of my only complaint is I'm struggling with like the whole white savior thing. Like the guy who saves everyone is white.
I don't think they meant it to be that way.
I know it didn't come out that way, but it's just in our modern society of 2017, it was hard for that to be the case and not think weirdly about it.
I mean, we're getting into particulars of Wind River here, but I saw this in like August or September, so my memory of it might not be the freshest, but he doesn't work on the reservation. He works like for the broader municipality, I want to say.
No, he's a for-hire hunter.
Okay. I felt like it was fine for him to have been there. He didn't seem out of place.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying, is it all fits. But given what we're going through in 2017 as a society,
sure,
it's hard not to think twice about it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. There are a lot of Native American actors that get work through this movie, and I certainly don't think it is insulting towards them in any way. But I hear that, and
right. It tells the story of what's going on in reservations. I assume it's semi or mostly factual about drug issues and lack of jobs and things like that.
And it's from the director of Sicario, not the director, from the writer of Sicario and one other movie, Taylor Sheridan, one other big name movie that we may have actually done in the NMC. We did do Sicario.
It's way better than Sicario.
I would agree with that. I don't know if I would say way better, but I did like it better. I did rate it a little higher than Sicario.
If you want to have some more talk about White Savior, on our next podcast, or one of our next few podcasts, we're going to be talking about Dances with Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a good, hopefully a lively, good debate between a bunch of just white guys talk about white saviors. But also, have you guys ever seen the movie Thunderheart?
No.
Kilmer?
No.
Never heard of it. I'll add it to my watch
list. Another movie on another murder on a Indian reservation, the American reservation. I'd like to talk about that movie with Dance of the Wolves as well, if we can all watch that.
I wouldn't.
Here's another category for you, John. White savior movies.
White savior movies. Oh yeah, John Kissel from Hobsett, Indiana would be all over that.
It's not a terrible idea, and we are going to talk about Dance with the Wolves. Not that I necessarily think that is one of those kinds of movies, but
yes, I agree.
Those kinds of movies certainly exist.
John, the movie you're looking for is Hell or High Water.
What?
Oh, the writer.
Yes, Taylor Sheridan. Okay, thank you.
So he has three big ones under his belt. He's got a serious resume. Wind River, Hell or High Water, Sicario, and I would put them exactly in that order, with the first two way ahead of the third one.
Okay. My next movie is Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. Ai Weiwei, subtitle, colon, Never Sorry, like he's in a superhero movie. Ai Weiwei, of course, is
the guy's name you hear on NPR all the time, because they're the only people who's going to talk about him.
Fair enough. He is a Chinese dissident artist who, on the one hand, designed the Bird's Nest Olympic Stadium, but at the same time, he is also I'm not certain on what his exact legal status is, but I mean, the movie ends with him being disappeared by the Chinese government. He was released on bond, and the documentary crew is filming the movie while all this is happening, while his activism in China to reveal the government there to be incompetent thugs. It's especially apt since this documentary was filmed around the time of the Sichuan earthquakes, in which hundreds of, if not thousands of people died due to shoddy construction, especially in schools. And a lot of it goes into like his process as far as how he makes his art and everything. It's interesting to see that he's not really he's not Jackson Pollock, like, splattering paint on a canvas. He just has an idea, and then he contracts it out to a bunch of workers, sculptors, artisans, whoever, to make the thing to fulfill his idea. So it's like an art company, kind of, in a way, but even still, like, he's a very interesting person, and this is a pretty strong documentary.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Okay, I didn't think so. Yeah.
I've never heard of
it. I have a lot of opinions of artists. Would you like to hear them all?
Nope. What have you been watching, though? That'd be great.
What have I been watching? Cars 3. What's up about that?
All right.
Literally, like, what I've been watching, what my kids been watching, man. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? I watch what we need to watch in the Yucca Movie Club.
Much appreciated.
I'm getting better. And then I've been watching Cars 3.
Okay.
Would you rather talk about Robin Hood?
The old Robin Hood, movie? Prince of Thieves? Oh, not especially.
Oh, well, how dare you? That's a great movie. Let's talk about Cars 3.
Is it? Yeah, go ahead.
It's better than the other two.
I believe you.
Which isn't hard to be better than the second Cars.
It's just a gross endeavor. It's just a way to sell kids more toys.
God damn it.
I mean, all of these movies, I feel like anything associated with Disney is that in a way. Like, they think about merchandising than most companies.
Well, I've heard a lot of, so is it worth it? And this is the only point that I think is interesting about Cars. Is it worth it to do the Cars blatant commercialism? Which, by the way, if you don't have kids, I'm going to tell you right now, the Cars do not fit on the Hot Wheels tracks. They're too big. Get the bus specific tracks for Cars. So Hot Wheels is like their biggest arch rival of all time. Is what was the plastic one called?
You're not going to get any help from me.
It's Hot Wheels versus whatever the other cars are.
Matchbox.
There we go.
You got some help from me.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Might as well.
I didn't even know.
Would you like to
adopt
one of my children?
No, I would not.
Okay, which one would you like to adopt?
No.
Are you sure?
Again, we're recording.
The 7-month-old's right there. He's sleeping right now.
No, thank you. Pass. Okay. Hard pass.
No, but the cars do not fit on the Hot Wheels Matchbox ones. It's crazy. So you have to buy your own set of cars. So that's
where's this going?
So the premise is it worth it? Is it worth it? Like, is it morally, like, is it understandable? Is it worth it for you to support Pixar?
You're not supporting Pixar. You're supporting Disney.
No. But the Cars movies bring in X amount of money every year. And that is that allows them to make something Ratatouille.
I don't know that.
Would you rather there be Cars 2 and no Ratatouille? Like, or would you rather be no Cars 2, no Ratatouille, or would you rather be Cars 2 and Ratatouille?
If Pixar is taking the stance of, like, an actor who wants to get paid but also do challenging work, and they do the one for me, one for them, back and forth with their resume, if that's what Pixar does, then yeah, do the one for them, them being ravenous consumer children and their poor parents.
Thank you for that. I think that's generally fine.
But it's not like the Pixar movies that are original ideas are doing terribly. Like Coco's doing very well. Incredibles 2 is coming down the pike. And The Incredibles is the second best Pixar movie, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but there's one thing to make box office bank, but also do box office.
Sure, I don't know if anyone's buying, like, Coco toys necessarily.
I don't think Coco is doing that well, John.
I think it is.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Either way, do you know how much a Hot Wheel car is?
No, I don't.
$1.69.
99 cents. Are you guys getting ripped off in Illinois? So 99 cents for a Hot Wheel car. For a Cars car, $3.99.
I believe you.
So it's like four times. Like, I know that's because we're trying to teach my 3-year-old an allowance.
Sure.
So
good luck.
Thank you.
You're an insane person.
Thank you.
Brian, what have you been watching, Brian?
We're not talking about cars.
What have you been pricing out the local Target?
I watched The Dark Tower. Have either of you seen The Dark Tower?
No.
What's the guy's name? Matthew McConaughey in it, who is distractingly bad.
I believe you.
He single-handedly brings the movie down multiple letter grades. The concept is fine. The implementation of said concept is awful. And I can't recommend watching it, unfortunately, even though it has Idris Elba in it.
So. I mean, it's a movie that takes place after a very long book series that, I mean, there's no way you have a sense of what's going on, right? Isn't everything way too complex to fit into the expectation for the movie?
They kind of dumb it down. Like, it wasn't that hard to follow.
Mm. And as far as McConaughey,
it's just not well executed. McConaughey is terrible.
I recently watched a movie called Lovelace about Linda Lovelace, the star of Deep Throat and probably the most famous porn star at that period in time, maybe the first porn star, arguably. Pretty straightforward biopic type of movie, except it's from like 21 to 25 when she is just breaking into adult film and when she is exiting it. The movie is formally really inventive. It's about 40 minutes of boogie nights. Like, everything is going fine. She's getting recognition. She's getting paid. The movie is doing well. She's meeting celebrities. And then, after a certain point, the scenes that ended when they ended in the first part of the movie continue to go on for a little bit longer. And all of a sudden, she is being raped on her wedding night by her dirtbag pimp of a husband. And Hugh Hefner in his private box is really wanting to get a blowjob from her. And it switches from like a jaunty A Star is Born type of thing into a really bleak picture of exploitation.
Sounds uncomfortable to watch.
Well, I mean,
I'm uncomfortable listening. It's about a porn star.
There's a lot of like character actors in it. Amanda Seyfried plays Linda Lovelace very well, I think. She hits a lot of notes. And Peter Sarsgaard plays her husband, the aforementioned dirtbag. James Franco is in it. Hank Azaria, Bobby Cannavale. A lot of, like, as I said, like second tier, more generally TV type actors that are given a chance to really do well in Lovelace. Sharon Stone plays her mom. The T-1000, Robert Patrick, plays her dad. A lot of great stuff. It really impressed me. I thought it was just going to be a standard biopic type of thing, but her life was way more interesting than I think people give her credit for. And like, they include scenes of Johnny Carson like making fun of her, and it's just the same thing happened with the Amy Winehouse documentary where you see late night comedians making fun of Amy Winehouse. And like, this is a person who is being exploited and abused and is most generously in the throes of addiction. Our culture is weird and gross.
Well, yeah, but I mean, okay.
Just have a little empathy.
Yeah, no, I agree with some empathy. Like, comparing her to Amy Winehouse, though.
Amy Winehouse wasn't being assaulted. She was a person who had chemical imbalances, and she was absolutely. Yes. Have you seen the documentary?
No, but I know she's fucked up.
She was being exploited by people around her.
Who the fuck is in show business?
I mean, there's no Amanda Seyfried documentary. She's probably doing okay, or Peter Sarsgaard, or whoever.
For now,
They're probably going to be all right.
Yeah,
but
like I don't even think they're streamed, but like comparing those two, I mean, Amy Winehouse basically just
in the context of the culture poking fun at someone who really needed someone to step in and say enough.
Yeah. Okay. It was super popular when Hugh Hefner died to be like, either, hey, Hugh Hefner, like, colored my childhood, ha ha ha, like, cool guy, like, whatever. I used to jerk off to magazines, right? Mm. But there was also, like, he was also a misogynistic pig. And
he was a dirtbag.
Yeah. Okay. Like, why weren't you saying that, like, years before? Like, why did you have to wait?
I don't know. I mean, how much power does a guy who walks around in his underwear all day and has women that he says are his wives and probably more accurately his employees.
Right.
I mean, you know, that guy, whatever cultural cachet he's got, I mean, it's all tied up in
manipulating
stuff that people aren't impressed with.
Like,
yeah, he's good buddies with James Caan. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Does that sound like fun?
Thank for the God.
Person?
Yeah. Like anyone who watched 1 minute of whatever his like Playboy wife show was
definitely didn't do that.
I have no fucking idea what the name of the show was.
Neither do I.
I'm glad I don't know the name of it. But if you watch 1 minute of it and you want to be critical of him, then fuck off. Like, you're way too late to the game. You already contributed to it. Whatever. Yeah.
It's good for free speech and all that, but
come on.
I mean, Larry Flynn is the one who went to the Supreme Court, not Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
And Larry Flynn is an even bigger dirtbag. What else you got?
I have been watching. I started Mindhunter.
Okay.
So we're only a couple episodes in. Pretty good. I don't have much to say to it other than do both. So I want to know this question straight up. Like, I know that Ranker has a really bad reputation for being a clickbait thing, but they also actually do source what they say. So Mindhunter is about serial killers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So have you guys, do you guys ever click on those things?
Fuck no.
No, nothing.
Click on. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You ever see those things like, here is a serial killer, like whatever. You guys don't click on this at all.
Don't care.
No, I also don't watch serial killer shows. So
that does not bode well for
Hannibal. Yeah. So we'll be watching Rome. Stay tuned for next week with Rome.
We'll see what happens.
With Kevin McBride.
That is his name. Okay.
This is, hey,
what else you got? What else you got about Riker?
Well, I thought like neither one of you has seen Mindhunter, but I think Mindhunter is definitely worth a spin, especially if you like Hannibal. So I've seen three episodes, but it is about the psychology, and it's kind of like, I think psychology is interesting. I think sociology is interesting. So this is kind of like the beginning of psychology in the 60s and 70s, where we're like, oh, holy fuck, there are really fucking crazy people out there. Right? Because up until the mid-1900s, everyone had to work for a living, and they couldn't just fucking go around killing people for fun.
What?
So you're too tired.
Like, people
are do manual labor.
People are serial killers before Jack the Ripper immediately falls.
I mean, but that's late 1800s. I think it's interesting, though. I think it's a totally interesting thing, is were there serial killers in the 1700s?
Yes.
Almost
there
certainly.
Had to have been. Forever.
Who's keeping track?
I don't know. Like,
forever.
But aren't
forever.
You trying too hard to survive? Like literally trying to survive.
Here's an easy way to survive. Kill someone and take their stuff.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah. You know, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Brian, what else have you been watching?
Oh, there's a podcast I really like called Lore. Like, if you're ever driving at night and want to stay awake, Lore tells scary stories. And so Amazon turned it into a TV show. And the TV show, honestly, huge letdown compared to the podcast. So I love the podcast. Not a fan of the TV show. I only tried one episode, but I can't recommend that one episode.
I watched Lady Bird over the weekend, written and directed by Shane's favorite actress, Greta Gerwig.
Please no spoilers.
Of course. It's not really a spoilerable movie in any sense. It's a teenage girl played by Saoirse Ronan in Sacramento, California in 2002 and 2003 as she completes her senior year in high school. Her mom is played by Laurie Metcalf, probably best known from Roseanne, I suppose. Likely going to win an Oscar for herself this year. And it's just so fun to watch and charming. It's not a long movie. It's barely over 90 minutes. But it's a world you could spend a lot of time in. It does that thing I love in movies where the movie is about the character of Lady Bird, but it could very easily be about characters that she is interacting with. It could easily be about her parents, who have all kinds of stuff going on internally and externally. It could be about her friends. It could be about guys that she is interested in. And that's just always a sign of a beautifully written movie. And Greta Gerwig, what do you know? She may not have the most range as an actress, but can she direct and write the fuck out of a movie? You're goddamn right she can.
At least one.
I mean, we'll see what happens next, certainly. But I mean, and she has written movies before. I don't know exactly which. I believe she had a hand in writing Frances Ha. I think she got half credit for that. And she probably got half credit for other movies that she was been in with Noah Baumbach, who directed Frances Ha.
Writing Frances Ha is not something you
right.
can brag about.
Here's how you write Frances Ha. You live in New York City for a year.
She's not – we can't get into another discussion about Frances Ha. Lady Bird is I loved Frances Ha. Lady Bird is
Gosh. I didn't know you loved Frances Ha. We got to end this podcast.
I gave it an A-. Now. The last movie that we're going to talk about is The Revenant.
You're just now getting around to watching The Revenant?
Yes. I did not love it. I thought it was fine. Depending on my mood when I write the review, I'll probably talk myself down to a C+.
Wow.
I don't think that movie has much going for it beyond what? Futility? Uselessness against nature? Like, people make
this is right in your alley.
Yeah, people make that kind of movie far better. We talked in the previous one, if you've been watching, about my not being too terribly impressed by single shots. Here's one way to tell if I'm not going to be impressed by your fancy camera work. If a character's breath is fogging the fucking camera up, what is that adding?
Nothing.
What's that adding to the movie?
It's cold. It's really cold.
Show the breath then. Why does the camera have to be right in his face?
Because
it's just annoying.
Because Leonardo DiCaprio had a camera with him.
If The Revenant is about putting you in Leonardo DiCaprio's fur boots as he somehow manages to cross the wilderness, it should be focused on maintaining an atmosphere first and foremost. And when there is fog on the camera, you're totally breaking your movie. I don't think he deserved Best Actor, certainly. It's not an endurance test. It's not the fucking Iron Man triathlon. I think that all he did was be really cold. Hide inside a horse. Great. I'm sure that sucked. But it's not who can hide best in the horse award. there were better performances that year. And so, I'm lukewarm on it at best.
Better man versus nature scenes. Revenant or Sunshine?
I mean, it's never really man versus nature in Sunshine, but I would say Sunshine.
Yeah.
If it was man versus nature.
I think
nature,
it is man versus nature
is.
In Sunshine. But it's not it's not Earth nature.
It's not Earth nature. I mean, everything that happens in Sunshine takes place within a spaceship.
Yeah, it's a bit of a ridiculous
Better thing. Man versus nature.
So
movie.
I think, because like, I think you're man versus nature in a spaceship. Is about
this is your premise.
No, I know. This is why I'm throwing out to you. Like how ridiculous does that sound?
Not
man
at all.
Man versus nature in a spaceship versus man versus nature in fucking 100 years ago in the frontier. Like, you cannot relate to either one. So which one is better?
I can relate to a sense of awe that exists in Sunshine that is not present in The Revenant.
You cannot see any awe.
It's totally fallen, bleak nihilism.
Isn't it Sunshine?
No, not at all.
How?
That the first scenes in that movie are Cliff Curtis being blown away by how majestic the sun looks from this distance.
Yeah, but why not in The Revenant?
Because none of the characters are awed in The Revenant.
John, one of the few reviews I wrote on MMC Side Pieces is about Revenant. And I gave it
remember that.
I gave it a B. So you might want to write your review and then go read it. How about what a great review I wrote?
That will do us for this episode of What Are You Even Watching? Maybe if we pick The Revenant at a certain date in the future, we can expand on what I found to be its lifeless shortcomings. But until then, this will have to tide us over for now.
And our next matchup is white saviors versus movies that need to be rewatched. Is that right?
Reevaluated. I mean, this is not re-evaluated. A terrible That's idea. Right. I mean,
These are good themes.
There is a lot of white savior in 300, so we can knock out both with one stone, perhaps. Follow us on the internet, MediaComovie.club. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. iTunes reviews, Amazon, standard disclaimer at the end of an episode. We will be discussing The Big Sick in the coming week, followed by Morris from America, followed by
both worth watching.
That'll do us for this episode.
Thanks,
What Have You Been
John.
Watching?
See ya.
Have a good night.
Thanks, John.
See ya.